The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Okay. So, building on the guided meditation, just want to talk a little bit about this idea of energy, because there might be a time in which we feel really inspired. We have this big aspiration, and we want to really practice, but there will be times when there isn't a lot of enthusiasm or isn't a lot of energy to do what's important to us and what we feel like we want to do. So it can be really helpful to be sensitive to our energy and to be able to know how to work with it. Maybe it's not that we don't have enough energy. Maybe we just feel too restless and we're kind of scattered and just doing too many things in our daily life or in our meditation life. So we could say that energy in some ways is what carries us from our intentions to actually doing things that are supportive and helpful and helping our life and our meditation practice, our spiritual practice, go in a direction we'd like it to go. Maybe it's not enough, like just have wisdom or aspiration, but we need some energy, right, to help support it. So many of you will be familiar probably with this idea of wise effort. And I want to, or right effort, it's one of the elements in the Eightfold Path. If you don't know about it, that's perfectly fine too. But I'm going to make a distinction between energy and effort. There are different Pali words and they're spoken about in different ways in the suttas, but they often get conflated. And so I'm just going to talk a little bit about both. So wise effort in a big picture way is about the direction that we're going with our energy. Are we going towards what's helpful or are we going towards what's not helpful? So unhelpful is maybe those moments when we're not quite honest or, you know, there's a way in which we're not being forthright, or maybe there's a way in which we are acting from irritation or frustration and we snap or at somebody or curt with somebody or the poor customer service person who's not their fault that whatever it is broke and that they can't fix it, but you find yourself being rude to them or something like this. So this is in some daily life, some examples of things that aren't so helpful for us to be doing that. If you want to have a wise life that has some calm and some ease, unhelpful also could just be those mental patterns in which we don't really settle down. There's a way in which we kind of, maybe we don't even notice it, but we kind of like this ruminating about this one particular thing, this righteous indignation. I can't believe they did that. And those people over there, and they should do this other thing. And we just kind of find ourselves getting stuck and going through this again and again. So helpful is, you know, some of these things that whatever supports, you know, some greater clarity and kindness, that what is it that helps the mind and body settle? Meditating with others sometimes is something that does this, or maybe helpful being generous, being patient, you know, these types of things. So wise effort is about like the direction in which we're applying our energy. But now I'd like to talk a little bit about just energy. Maybe this felt sense. Maybe you guys came up with some descriptions, some words in your small groups. But sometimes we feel it as a, maybe like a fine like vibration or tingling or something, or this, I kind of like this word, vitality or aliveness, or maybe in some way in which the lights are on in somebody's home kind of feeling, right? Like just being present. And so, or sometimes there's a way, maybe the energy feels like in the mind, we might have this sense of brightness or some clarity like, oh yeah, I can see that I'm agitated right now. And so you can feel the agitated, but there's the there's this clarity and brightness that allows you to see it clearly. So it's not necessarily a bliss, but it's just not a cloudiness, not a fogginess, not a like disconnection. And so then, of course, it's helpful to have balanced energy, not too much, not too little. And there's this way in which sometimes, I know I find myself sometimes doing this, it's almost like hoarding my energy. I feel like, okay, I know I have a lot of things to do, so I'm not going to spend very much energy now. And that turns out not to be so helpful. It's just to be helpful to work with whatever is energy is available then. I mean, it's just human bodies, right, don't have inexhaustible energy. So just use whatever's available then. The Buddha didn't say you had to have lots of energy or you had to have low energy. It's all about just working with whatever energy level you have. And all that's really, really required is just be able to maybe make some of this discernment between helpful and not helpful. That's all the energy that's really available. So even when we're sick and we have really little energy and maybe we're asleep most of the time even or medicated in some kind of way, it's just more about just enough that can you feel into or have a sense of what's helpful or what's not helpful. But then there's this way, you know, that this idea of balanced energy, there's this classic teaching, probably some of you are familiar with this or in the suttas, this idea of tuning a stringed instrument, you know, so just making the string a little bit tighter or a little bit looser so that it's in tune. So it's just kind of like with energy too. Is there a way in which maybe we can feel, oh, there's a little bit more energy as a way we can bring it down so there's less scatteredness? And I'll talk about this in a moment, or a little bit more energy. So that the stringed instrument is in tune and maybe is beautiful in some kind of way. But I think one thing that's important to note is that just in the same way with stringed instruments, it's not like you tune it once and boom, you're done. And like for the rest of the time you have this instrument, you never have to tune it again. It's not like we ever figure out like, okay, I do exactly this and then the energy will be fine. No, it doesn't work like that. And I would say the art of meditation practice is this learning to be sensitive to the energy level and in a subtle way or maybe an obvious way if we need to, for falling asleep, for example, or bouncing off the walls or something, then to adjust it. This is really the art of practice. It's just part of this tuning into and being sensitive and being recognizing that the energy level that we have does have a big impact on us, but it doesn't necessarily have to be radically different than how it is, but maybe there's some tweaking that can be done, and maybe not, and that's okay too. The art of practice is also including like, oh, yeah, okay, there's nothing I can do about this. I am so restless. I cannot wait for that bell to ring. But just to be able to notice, yep, this is what waiting for the bell to ring feels like. This is what wanting to jump out of my skin feels like. So let's say you notice that your energy is low. What are some things to do? One is practice with others, just as you all are doing. It makes a difference to be in the room with others. I know that I went to some of my early meditation retreats. Let's see, I went on one and it was really difficult and I didn't go for a number of years. And then I just felt a little peer pressure to go on. My friends that I had made, they were going on a meditation retreat. I'm like, okay, I guess I'll do this. And for me, it was so helpful to just be sitting with this room of people. Like, okay, they're doing it. And I don't know, it just helped. I wouldn't have made it through that retreat without others. It's just recognizing, okay, we're all in this together. There's something about that. So if you find yourself often with just low energy, it's funny that I'm talking to you guys about this when you are already here, but you might have already recognized this yourself, or something about when we're with others, it kind of brings this up. And there's this way that maybe we don't even recognize it, that just our being here is supporting somebody else. Even if we never talk to that other person, we don't even know who that other person is, there's just something about being with a group of people. And sometimes this happens too with YouTube or Zoom, but I would say in particular in person, if that's possible. Here's something else that's interesting about increasing our energy. What if, like, maybe in general or in our life, so maybe not so much in meditation, but it can be in meditation, of playing with the edge of our comfort zones. Often when we're meditating, we just have this way in which we are usually showing up. This way in which can be this habit, like, okay, I'm in my meditation posture and there can be just an experience. But what if we just a little bit more than the comfort zone in terms of maybe there's a little bit more attention to posture and trying to be upright without stiffness? Or what if it's, or maybe even sitting on the floor? There's no requirement to sit on the floor, but there can be a way just to bring something maybe new that's just a little bit out of your comfort zone, not terrible, just a little bit, that can bring the energy up, sitting a little longer than you usually do. Or maybe just as I did in the guided meditation, had this suggested, well, if your energy is low, to bring it up. Is there something that maybe it's not in your comfort zone to modify your energy level or do anything? You're more just noticing, which is a legitimate practice. But to do something maybe that's just a little bit different than what you often do, to get us out of habit. Like, habit is so helpful. It gets us to the cushion, but also habit is often a way in which we disconnect and just kind of the mind starts, or the body just starts going through motions. So is there a way that we can not be with habit, but to do something different? Whatever that might be. Maybe we're memorizing the Metta Sutta and we chant that for the first few minutes of our sit, or, I don't know, there's this way in which when we're stretching ourselves that requires a little bit of energy, and it also can give energy. So it's both. There's this way in which we might think, like, oh, I don't have enough energy to do it, but it can give us energy to try something new, to be a little bit stretched about this. Also, something about increasing energy in our daily life is just notice, or in meditation, I should say, notice when energy is present. And just tune into that experience of, like, having the right level of energy, not agitated, not restless, but like, oh yeah, there's some brightness here, some uprightness of some kind of way. And just tune into that experience. This lets the mind and the body know that we are valuing this, and it makes it easier to find our way back if we're really familiar with it. So just notice when it accidentally happens. It will happen, right? And just like, oh, here it is. Wow, yeah, the energy feels balanced here. And just get curious about it, because this curiosity investigation is also something that will bring the energy up. If you find that the energy is low, you can just really feel like, well, how do I know the energy is low? For me, it's sometimes I feel in my shoulders and I'm kind of like leaning forward. So there's can be this way, well, what is actually low energy feel like? What's happening in the mind? What's happening in the body? And that can bring the energy up to bring in some investigation. So it's true that the human mind has developed all kinds of ways to conserve energy. So it's not a personal flaw. It's not. It's just more biology if you find yourself with low energy. But going against habit definitely requires energy. And part of this meditation practice is to go against the habit of disconnecting from our experience, from not really being present, but being on autopilot so much of our life. So that's some things I can mention about bringing energy up. What if you're feeling restless and you have too little energy is not the issue, but instead you feel like you would want to bring some of the energy down? There's a few ways we can do this. One is to maybe like zoom out. It's kind of like, imagine there's a stream of ants or a bunch of ants that have found something that's delicious, honey. And then you're zoomed in and you're just like see all their little antennae and how they walk around and they talk to each other, right, by touch antennae. And there's all this busyness, like, wow, all this stuff that's going on. But then what if you zoom out? And then you see, oh, it's actually just a little dark line that's here and then maybe a dark spot near where the honey is. So how does this mean? Like to zoom out, what that means is can you be aware of more things in your experience than just the restlessness? Sounds, the pressure against the body, maybe just the feeling of the breath in a smooth way, and maybe even extending the exhales. So that's one way when there's too much energy is to zoom out. Maybe like you're in a cathedral, like a big, giant, beautiful space or something like this. Or you can zoom in a way, zoom into something that's like grounded and steady. The experience of the feet against the floor, the experience of the chair or cushion against the body, and just really pay attention to this grounded, connected experience. Someplace that's the sitting surface, you have this contact, you feel supported and steady there. Something else, if you feel like there's too much energy, that you could have this reflection. What's underneath this? What's fueling this restlessness? Sometimes there's an emotion underneath that just hasn't been acknowledged. Worry, fear, anger, remorse. And it might just be like boiling a little bit underneath. And then sometimes the mind spinning stories about it and trying to solve it, or maybe the body's just maybe it's just agitated and it's not even clear what story it's related to or what it's about. So what we can do is just bring maybe a little curiosity, is there an emotion underneath this? And then we don't have to figure it out. We don't have to solve this problem. We're just bringing some curiosity and some openness. Like, oh yeah, I think there's something here, a little bit of emotion. And maybe it becomes clear, maybe it doesn't. But we're just creating the conditions in which it can show itself if it's the right time to be seen. We can trust that we don't have to go in there and figure it out. So whether we're in a phase of too little energy or too much energy, the invitation is to, can we just maybe bring some attention to the experience? Can we just bring some curiosity. Oh, yeah, this is what it feels like to have a lot of energy. This is what it feels like to not have a lot of energy. When the energy is low, maybe there's a sense of, you could drop in a reflection, am I exhausted from so much striving? Just not uncommon, or maybe you're protecting yourself from something painful. Or maybe we're just wanting to stay in this cottony, fluffy, foggy place where it kind of feels like maybe comfortable and soft at the beginning, but it turns out to be a dead end, and the energy just drains out if we find ourselves there. It's a trap. It's a cul-de-sac. It doesn't really go anywhere. We just find ourselves there. It's like, oh, it feels good. I feel relaxed. But there's a dullness, and then we just kind of stay there, and then the bell rings. Or we just fall asleep or something like this. So, but when energy is high, can we zoom out or zoom in to something that's like steady and comfortable? And then this is a way in which we can maybe be tuning our instruments just a little bit, not in an aggressive way. We're not making ourselves wrong. We're not making our bodies wrong. It's just a way, like I said, kind of like the art of practice is to just notice, is there a way in which there might be a little bit of tweaking that's possible here? At the same time, honoring and respecting what it's like to have the energy level that we do have. Okay, so now I'd like to provide an opportunity for you to get into, to talk about this again. Here's the question. Oh, wait. Try not to cough with a microphone on, because that gets very loud. So I shared a few images from this talk, stringed instrument that gets tuned, the ants that are moving, wide-angle lens, zooming-in lens. Maybe you have your own image. Is there an image from this talk that you found helpful, or did any of them resonate with you? And if so, how might you use them, or in either your daily life or your meditation practice? So that's the first part. Maybe there's an image, but maybe you have your own of like the way of how to work with energy. And then I introduced this one idea of playing outside of your comfort zone as a way to bring in energy. And it also can be a way in which we kind of like collects energy. It requires energy. It also can bring some energy. And keeping in mind wise effort, what's helpful and what's not helpful. Is there something that you might feel like you'd want to explore with energy of playing beyond your comfort zone in meditation? Maybe sitting a little bit longer. Maybe not listening to guided meditations. Maybe, I don't know what it, there's just so many things we could do. Maybe doing some loving kindness practice in addition to your mindfulness practice. Maybe doing body scans as a way to help getting settled or something like this. So two parts to this question. One, was there an image that I offered that resonated? It could be a simple answer, no, and then that'd be fine. And then you could go on to the second part is this idea of maybe playing beyond your comfort zone. And I'm using this word playing. This isn't striving, something that you have to do, but maybe there's just a little bit beyond your comfort zone if you were to do that, what would it be? What would it be? What maybe is interesting for you, or something that feels that might be a little bit alive with that? And now I'm trying to decide, do you think it would be helpful to be in the same groups, or should we mix it up again? We'll mix it up again. Okay, so let's use the last digit of your birthday. For example, today is November 20th. If you were born today, today's your birthday, 0 is the last number, 20, 0. If you're June 15th, then it would be 5 would be the last digit. So evens on this side of the yellow line and odds on that side of the yellow line.